Okay, I think we'll make a start. I think there'll be a few more just to come back in a moment or two. So sort out the children. Last week we were looking at, from Joshua, we were talking about a message I felt the Lord give me about the need to get ready in order to cross over the other side. And it was a message which we've preached before to some extent in different ways over the last few months. But as I said, you know, at different places which I've been over the last few months also, I've heard the same message. And last weekend I was just coming back from the Pioneer Leaders Day down in Southampton, and a very similar message was brought. And I said last week I just felt I needed to change what I had planned to say, because I feel there's something in this message which is for all of us, and to enable us to go forward together in all that the Lord has in mind for us. I didn't finish what I was trying to say last week, and we ended with that particular aspect of crossing over from the point of view of being saved. And I was saying there, the country on the other side, if we're not a Christian before, there's a decision which we need to make in order to get over the other side and enjoy the blessing of salvation and eternal life, which the Lord wants for us. And I was also mentioning there, because I just feel actually that some here have been around for a little while, but actually there's a decision. If you want to move from darkness to light, you need to make a decision. And as that spiritual decision is made, that faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, a spiritual transaction takes place and transfers you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's a faith thing, it's a spiritual thing. And then we will begin to find that what's happened in the spiritual begins to happen in the natural, in the physical, and lifestyle changes, because now we've got the Spirit of God living in us, whereas before we didn't. So there's a decision which we need to make in order to enjoy and experience salvation. And the challenge last week for some, of course, is that the first, an early decision that needs to be made after we decide to become a Christian is the need to get baptized. And baptism is a step of obedience. And disciples get baptized. It's not like, let's wait for the right time. The right time is now. The right time. If you've made that decision, but what follows that decision is baptism. And that's a step of obedience to the Lord. And if you look in the news sheet, you'll find there's a date for some baptisms coming up in a few weeks' time. I know at least three, maybe four or five people are going to be taking that step of baptism. It's important for those of us who are Christians, if we want to be followers of the Lord, that we take that step too. Not because we understand it all completely theologically, but because we want to obey our new master who says, repent and be baptized. But I want to just read again from Joshua, and this is what we were looking at last week, just as a reminder. And starting at the first verse of the first chapter. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So just for those that need to be reminded, they've been 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert. They'd come out of Egypt. The intention was, the plan was that they went in 10 days from Egypt to the promised land. But through a whole variety of reasons, they went round in this desert for 40 years. And eventually, Moses died in the desert without ever actually getting his people across. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. And then if we move on to chapter 3, just a few verses at the beginning of the story there. So Joshua brought these words and they sent spies into the land again and they agreed it's a good land. It's a good land. There's giants there, but it's what the Lord's got for us. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. So a new season, a new challenge. There was borders to cross. They'd not been this way before. The Lord told them, so you need to follow his presence. You need to follow the ark, and I will lead you, and I will direct you. But before you cross the border, Joshua, tell the people to sanctify themselves. Tell the people to get ready. Tell the people to make sure there is nothing, nothing in them which they can't take on the other side. Because if you sanctify yourselves, I'm going to do amazing things among you. Yet last week we were just illustrating something of this, in the sense that if we want to get hold of the new that God wants for us, we need to get rid of the old. We borrowed Jamie to illustrate that. Jamie kept his coat on, representing all the old stuff of the past. But in order to get hold of the new stuff which God wants for us, we need to get rid of the old, consecration, sanctify yourselves, make yourselves right with God, make yourself right with each other. We need to take the old off and put on the new, that we may experience and inherit all that the Lord has for us. Reckon yourself dead, Paul says to the church in Rome. Reckon yourself dead to sin. What's past is in the past. You need to move on from it. And I was thinking of some obvious examples, really. You know, you can't receive salvation unless you repent. You can't not repent and keep your old way of living and thinking and everything else and be saved too. No, you've got to turn in order to receive. You can't receive forgiveness unless you forgive. You can't hold offenses and stuff in your life and then receive forgiveness. According to the Lord, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. We need to get hold of the old in order to receive the new. We can't get hold of the future blessings of God, which he has for us, if we hang on to the past, maybe disappointments or discouragements of the past. We need to leave them behind in order to get hold of that which God has got for us. And I believe from this passage here, the Lord's saying, I've got brilliant stuff for you all. But in order to get hold of it, we need to get rid of the past, get rid of the old, cross the Jordan and begin to inherit that which the Lord has done. You see, there's a spiritual transaction which takes place. As I explained earlier on, when we became a Christian, a transaction took place. And when, as a corporate body of people, the Lord is calling us to leave the past behind and we move forward, there's a spiritual transaction which takes place. We're putting off the old and receiving the new. But how do you know that that's happened in your life? How do you know that you're a Christian? If you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian and you can give me a date and a time when you put your hand up or whatever it might be, but a year on, everything is just the same, nothing's changed, the lifestyle exactly the same, I'd question whether you really made a commitment to the Lord. It might be not a lot different the next day, but I would expect after a number of days, weeks or months, changes would be taking place in your life because a spiritual transaction has taken place. You've been born again. You can't be born again and nothing changes. Are you with me? So it's not just what you say. There's a faith thing in this which begins to affect the whole of your life. So when you say, I'm a Christian, I've come to the Lord, and everything just continues like it was before, there's no difference, nothing's changed in your lifestyle, I think you need to think again. Because when he comes, everything's different. When the Spirit of God is in us, he changes absolutely everything. As I say, not the first hour or the first day, but you'll be able to look back and think, wow, I used to be like that, but now I'm like this. And you won't take the credit for it. You'll think, I don't know how that's happened. But it's the Spirit of God working in us, making us more like Jesus. And the same happens when we need to put the past behind and get hold of the future. We had a special event a few months ago, and many of us decided to cross the line. But if we look back and think, well, nothing's changed, I'm still stuck where I was, you've got to ask yourself, did you really take that step in faith? Because if you did, you see, the promised land's better than the desert. You're not going to be in the same place. If you took that step spiritually, you will find the stuff that's come into your life, which is the blessing of God. Yeah? You know, if it's not coming through, you probably haven't taken that step. And I want to give everybody that opportunity to take that step and say, Lord, the future's bright. The future's orange. I'm going for it. I'm leaving the past behind. And I'm getting hold of all that you've got for me. And we should be expecting experiences in our life and stuff in our life to begin to reflect that change. Because it's his life which we are inheriting. In the account we read, the first thing Joshua had to do was realize that Moses and all that he represented was over, with all its glory, with all its miracles, with incredible supernatural demonstrations of power, of provision, of protection for 40 years, with the glory coming upon Moses, and they couldn't even look at his face. It wasn't a bad season in some ways. They couldn't even look at his face. He had to put a veil over himself because the glory of God was so bright every time he entered the presence of God. But Moses, that's over. Sorry, Joshua, that's over. That season is finished. That season of protection, of care. That season, it was a season where they wandered through the desert and the Lord provided and the Lord was teaching and the Lord was training them. But that's finished, Joshua. Moses is dead as well. You're the man for this new season. And in some ways, you see, I feel that is where we've been a little bit. But the new season, what's the new season? It's one of conquering. It's one of conquest. It's one where the Lord is saying, look, there's a land before you here, but you're not going to be handed it on a plate. You've got to get over that river. You've got to obey everything I say and fight the battles to win what God wants for us. And it's a land flowing with milk and honey. So whereas before it was more of a passive role, now I believe God wants to bring us into a role where we are deciding to get up and we're going to conquer. We're going to get hold. There's warfare, there's battles, there's giants, there's walled cities, maybe representing strongholds or arguments in our minds. But you know, the stuff there which we need to pull down to inherit that which God is promising for us. And I hope, church, we're up for this. I hope you can say amen to it, because that's my question. Are we up for it? Are we up for a bit of hard work? Are we up to take back that which the enemy has stolen from us? I believe this new season has the potential of being a season of blessing and victory if we push in together into all that God's got for us. But we can't take the past with us. If we want to get hold of all those things, We've got to leave all that rubbish behind us. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and the enemy doesn't want to let go. He doesn't want us ever to experience that. And I was thinking, well, what sort of battles are we going to be facing? And here's just three or four. I mean, I guess there's probably loads of them. And the first one I put down here is marriage and family. We need to bring back what the enemy has tried to steal from us in that area of our lives. Marriage is under attack. Divorce has never been easier. Cohabiting is the norm and almost the recommended and accepted way of living now. Same-sex commitments, I saw in the papers this week, they're trying to, the government are suggesting that churches, Anglican churches, they're going to have to marry same-sex in their own buildings, even though they would feel, many of the vicars, that that isn't their conviction or their place. And you think, where is all this leading to? You see, marriage and family is under attack. And we need to persevere and win back the values, the experience, the relationships which the enemy wants to take from us. Marriage is under attack. Families are under attack too. And you know, I was thinking, the Lord has for us a vision for godly homes. And mums and dads, we pray for the mums, but I want to include dads as well. Mums and dads, we've got a big responsibility. Because the Lord has entrusted children to us. And I think sometimes, I'm speaking personally, we can be too passive. We don't know what they're looking at on the internet. We don't know how they're spending their time. We don't know what they're receiving into their lives. We don't know what they're watching. We don't know what's going on when they're out with some of their children and their friends sometimes. But the Lord is entrusting us with children. And I was challenged from Malachi. Malachi 2 says this, he's talking about marriage, but has the Lord made them one, husband and wife? Yes, in flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord. The Lord has put family, marriages together that we can bring up godly offspring for Jesus. Our children have been entrusted to us that we might teach and train and enable them to live for God in a world which has opposite and contrary cultures and values. Isn't that a responsibility? And how many of our children have we just let go a little bit? I'm saying, church, we've got to win these battles back. We were praying for it earlier on, actually. I didn't know what was going to be led in the prayer earlier. There's children the Lord's entrusted to us. Don't settle. Don't settle for children which aren't going on in the Lord. We have a role to play. We mustn't be passive. We've got to win these battles. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I would say not just Christians, church-going Christians, even better for me, Christians in the vision and the focus which God's got for us, so that we go forward together as a family and as families. In all that God has got for us. So marriage and family. Young people, want to win them back. Saved, passionate, energetic for Jesus. Holy lifestyles. Radical, no drunkenness, no sex outside marriage. No going out with non-Christians. Generous with their time and with their finances. Respectful, committed, friendly, radical young people sold out for Jesus. Amen. Or are we going to accept a lower experience? I don't think young people are interested in compromise. Yeah, they're challenged by radical living. And I think we've got to win this battle with our young people. Help them express this. Help them with their friends to express a radical lifestyle, which will provoke some of us older ones with their radical approach to the kingdom of God. We had a little taste a while ago. I believe God wants to take us much, much further in that. Totally opposite to the culture of the day. But we want to win our youth and see them on fire for God. I tell you, there's lots of churches in this town, but in the nation, where a move of God among the youth is like so humbling from my point of view, because they are so much more on fire for God than I am. And I think, Lord, I don't want to hold back our youngsters, but I want to see them come forward and provoke me and provoke us older ones. They've got more energy. They've got more time. They've got more passion to really go for God. That's a battle I want us to win. Souls. The Lord wants that none should perish. God's heart for everybody. Healings and breakthroughs. We need to see healings increase. More of the kingdom breaking in. This is the promise, I believe, of the promised land, you know, that we're going to taste more of the promises in the kingdom of God. Prosperity. Poverty is of the enemy. Poverty is of the devil. Give me an amen. The Lord wants us to prosper. The Lord wants to bless us. The Lord wants our businesses, Christian businesses, putting God in the center. We should expect to be blessed. We should expect that there's more coming our way than coming to other people's ways because we're putting God in the center of this. And it's all for God anyhow. And I thank God for the blessings which have come on businesses. So these are just some of the illustrations, some of the things which I believe the Lord wants us to get hold of and to win and to battle for rather than just have a passive role to play. But there's a couple of things. I've got 10 minutes left. There's a couple of things which I feel we need to particularly deal with. And that last week I was talking about when you cross borders and I was telling how a couple of experiences I'd had recently of crossing a border and things weren't quite right. And, you know, you can be coming up to your border with your bag, can't you? And you think everything's all right if you pack your bag, sir. Yes, yes, I packed my bag. And nothing in there that shouldn't be in there. No, nothing that shouldn't be in there. Can I have a look? Yes, sir, you can have a look. Yeah, open up your bag. Yeah, T-shirt. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but that's okay. Or you can't take that over. Yeah, but I've only just bought it. No, but you can't take water over. You can't have water now. You need to leave that behind. That's part of the old, all right? That has to go. You cannot take that into the new place where we're going to. What else have you got there? Love? Well, that's good. Commitment? Yeah, no, that's good. Loyalty? I like that. Yeah. Church attender? Yeah, no, that's good. Keep up your church attendance. You'll be all right with those things there. You're paying your tithes. You're friendly. That's wonderful. Oh, what's these things here? Oh, no. No. Now, these things need to go. You can't take them over into the new kingdom, which I'm taking you into. So what are these things? What's the problem? One of them is discouragement. You can't take discouragement with you. We need to leave behind discouragement. The Lord said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. Church, we have to deal with discouragement. I believe it's one of the enemy's most effective weapons. It's easier to get over an immoral sin. It's easier to get over other physical things in our lives. But if discouragement gets in, it can be so hard to come out the other way. And we can't take discouragement. Well, if you take it, it's going to raise its ugly head. And you'll never experience the things that God wants for you. So you have to leave it the other side of the border. Here's a couple of things that can lead to discouragement. Fear. The Lord says, do not fear. Do not be terrified. Fear can lead to discouragement. Even what I've described to you might look too massive, too big. I can't even believe God for those sort of things. What if we fail? Fear of failure. We'll never succeed if we allow the fear of failure to be in our hearts. I want to die, like some of the people referred to in Hebrews, in faith, even though they didn't receive all that they felt was promised to them. But they died believing. Fear of failure, we need to deal with. Fear of commitment, we need to deal with. You know, in the past, this, that, and the other, but we're leaving the past behind. We're going forward. Some of you might know, I don't like everybody being told this, but some of you might know, I was engaged before I married Jackie. To somebody else. And when that engagement broke up, I found it so hard to come to a place of getting another ring. Because I thought it didn't work last time. And Jackie had to push me. She probably doesn't like me saying that bit either. But Jackie had to push me. I needed pushing because there was a fear of commitment. I'd committed to one person and it didn't work through, and it was a difficult time in my life. I found it hard. And every so often I find that little fear of commitment, even I saying this without commitment, can raise in my mind and my head. We have to deal with it. It has to go. Otherwise we'll never move on to what the Lord has for us. You can't trust anybody else. You're frightened of what will come out of a relationship because the last one didn't work out. Fear of not being in control. Like to be in complete control. My destiny, my direction, exactly where we're going. You need to let it go. And just as I was thinking earlier on, fear of man can discourage you. I'm training to be a street pastor. I'm frightened. This isn't my area of comfort zone, nightclubs and bars on Friday nights and Saturday mornings. It's not quite where I'm at. I'm not used to connecting with bar staff and doormen and revelers of young teens and stuff like that. I'm thinking, how am I going to be able to connect with these sort of people? But I felt I need to do it. I don't want fear and the fear of man and the fear of failure and the fear of everything else to prevent me from doing what I feel I need to be doing. And so I'm going on this thing. And I'm believing that if it doesn't work out the first night for me, in a few months' time, I'm going to be okay. So I believe the Lord's with me and the Lord wants me to do it. But if we allow fear of failure or fear of man or fear of whatever it might be to drive our thinking, we'll never do anything. But the Lord's with us. And he's going to enable us to succeed. So don't be discouraged. And the other thing which leads to discouragement is disappointment. Hope deferred. Dreams not realized. Expectations not met. By your parents, by your children, by your church leaders, by your boss, whoever it might be. Disappointment can lead to discouragement. And we can't take it through the gates. We've got to take discouragement, disappointment, anything else beginning with dis. We've got to leave them behind at the foot of the cross, because if we try to take these things over, we'll never inherit the blessings that the Lord wants for us. I don't want you to put me to the test. Just trust me. Just get rid of it. It's much easier. There's illustrations in the Bible, which I haven't got time to go into now. I mean, some of you know that we've had a tricky 18 months or so. One pastor just recently said, Neville, if you'd like me to come and apologise on a one-to-one basis with people in the church or whatever for my role in maybe not supporting and helping you, where maybe I should have done, I'd be very happy to come and do that. I thought, that is incredible humility. I was just amazed. But I said, thanks ever so much, but no thanks. That's in the past. We're moving on. I don't want to go back there. There's a land to inherit. There's people to save. There's marriages to see sorted. There's healings to get hold of. There's souls to win. I've moved on from there. We're going on to where the Lord has got for us. And even in the times of hardship, even in the times of difficulty, like with the children of Israel, exiled from their land and all the promises which God had got for them, the word of the Lord from Jeremiah 29 comes to them and says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Plans to give you hope and not a future. And I want to say, church, it's time to hope again. It's time to believe again. Even in the time of hardship, even in the time of darkness, even when we're not quite experiencing what we believe God's calling us to be, he wants to say to you, but I've got plans for you. It's not to stay there. I've got plans to prosper, to bless, and to bring hope back into your lives. And we need to say, amen. Amen. I'm going to receive it. I just need another 5 minutes. And this is to talk about a second area, which we weren't allowed to take over. The customs officer noticed in my bag was unbelief and small thinking. And he said, I had to leave those things behind. Unbelief. I know it's half an hour, it's all right. I'll just... Unbelief and small thinking need to go. You see, what the Lord promised to Joshua, that we read it, was a big land. Flowing from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates to Lebanon down to Egypt somewhere. It was a big, big bit of land which the Lord had promised. And they hadn't had land for hundreds of years. And the Lord was saying, you can have it. It's expansive. And the first lot went through and said, but we can't do it. There's giants there. You haven't seen, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And you haven't seen the walled cities. I mean, there's just no way we can conquer these cities. I mean, they're established, they're this, that, and the other. God said it's yours, but they said it wasn't. And Hebrews tells us, through unbelief, they never entered into the promises of God. I think that is such a challenge. Through unbelief, they never entered the promises of God. And God wants us to get hold of his promises. There's a land to take. There's promises and prophecies to get hold of. There's souls to win, cells to grow, disciples to form. I've touched on youth already. There is so much more in that whole area of youth. There's untapped expressions of worship, of prayer, marriages and businesses. It's time to dream. And it's time to think big. And it's time not to settle for our mediocre experience, but to begin to believe that God has got more for us. Because he has in that land over the other side of the Jordan. We've got to leave unbelief and small thinking behind. You will never inherit all that God's got if you're thinking small. It's God's got a lot for us. You see, Romans says you need to renew your minds. If you want to know the will of God, you need renewed thinking. You see, Isaiah says, God's ways, my ways, aren't your ways. And my thoughts aren't your thoughts. And somewhere else it says, and God doesn't change. So who needs to change their thinking? My ways aren't your ways, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and I don't change. We need to think like God. We need to change our thinking. We need to renew our mind. We need to get hold of the promises of God and stand on them and believe them in the face of adversity and everything else. But it's your promise, Lord, and we're going through. We're going to pull down arguments. We're going to pull down strongholds. We're going to see more of the kingdom of God in our experience if we get rid of these things which are going to hold us back. Amen? Amen. I think there's... Jesus says to the father who got a son who had an epileptic spirit, can you heal him? And the Lord says, if you can. He says, everything is possible to those who believe. And the father says, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And that's where I feel a little bit in this sometimes. I do believe. Help my unbelief, Lord. I want to get rid of that and leave it well behind. Oh, the giants are going to be far too big for us. For who? The cities are too strong. For who? The people are too numerous. These are all the excuses which they would have come up with. For who? We decide to believe God and conquer, or we live in unbelief and never get hold of what God's got for us. He is our confidence. He's the one with all power and authority. He's the one that says nothing's impossible. He's the one who promises to be with us wherever we go. And so I'm just sharing these words, church. I want us to move forward together into what the Lord has got for us. And I believe we need to stand together. We need to encourage each other. We need to provoke each other. We need to stir each other up. When things are hard and tough, we're there to support. When things are really happening well, we're there to encourage on. That together we might make a difference for Jesus in Reading, in the nation, and in the nations of the world. But if we're going to go forward, we've got to cross that border. In order to cross that border, there's certain things which we can't take over. We need to get rid of them, leave them behind, to get hold of what God's got for us. Amen. Amen. Matt, my friend and band, can we just have some music as we close, please? Can we stand together, church? I touched on a couple of areas there. Discouragement and disappointment and all that's involved with that. I touched on the small thinking. I believe that some of us need deliverance from small thinking, from unbelief. I find it so hard to believe that God could use you, that God could use us, that anything could change in Britain, that anything could change in Europe. It's all right, different parts of the world, but not here. That's small thinking. God's well able. God's well able. And he just needs to find the people that say, yes, I'm crossing this border. I'm crossing this border. I'm coming with you to inherit the promises. So you need to leave small thinking behind. You need to leave unbelief behind. You can't take that with you. And I just want to give the opportunity for you to be really, really honest with the Lord. I'm doing my best, Jim. I want to give people the opportunity to be really, really honest with the Lord. And if this stuff is in you, acknowledge it. And share it with your cell leader. So someone can pray with you. Someone can pray for you. So that we can get this out and we can believe that what God said is going to be. For some of you, you might not have made that initial step of salvation. And all that I've talked to you might just seem a little bit foreign at the moment. But the picture of what I'm saying for you applies. It's the new life that the Lord wants to give you. Eternal life and rest and a relationship with God. You can make that step this morning too. You can decide that you've tried it on your own terms long enough, but now you want to make him Lord and Saviour of your life. You need to cross that border. And as you cross that border, you can begin to receive all the blessings of God. You can't come in with your old life. You need to die to that. Leave it behind. He wants to give you new life with hope, joy and peace and the kingdom of God breaking through. So we're going to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song in a moment or two. If anybody wants prayer at the end or wants to come and just say, Neville, Jackie, John, whoever's at the front here, I just need prayer for this particular area or this, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. But I think the important thing is we do business with God. And the Lord says, get rid of small thinking and believe like me. Get rid of unbelief and let faith come. Get rid of discouragement and be encouraged in him, because he's with us and will never leave us.